Robin's birthday dinner, and all that comes with it. It's time to wrap it all up.
The thought of Ralph did come up, but I said no.
Thank you. I mean...
Weren't we really only 9 last night?
Yes.
Should I have not brought this up, Robin, you think, now that, in retrospect, that people are getting hurt?
I never thought that this would happen.
You know what? I know my place on the chain, dude.
Oh, geez.
I know where I'm at.
Go ahead.
Robin forgets going back who our real friends were, you know?
Like back in the day, you were a lot closer to her than John Hine ever was.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Good morning, everybody, and good afternoon to those listening live on the East Coast. Welcome to the Howard Stern Wrap-Up Show. We are live on a Friday. My name is John Hine. I'm your host. Joined, as always, by Stern Show executive producer Gary Delabate.
Hello, hello.
And the Emperor of Sternthology. His name is Rasan.
Closing it out on the East Coast.
888-STERN-100, 888-783-7610. You're going to want to call that number. Because we've got a lot to talk about regarding Robin's birthday dinner. The feedback has continued to pour in. The feelings have continued to generate around here. And it's an odd feeling for a few of us. But before we get into Robin specifically, Gary, you should speak to what it's like whenever the staff has a dinner. Or I should say, some of the staff goes out to dinner. Because this isn't a new phenomenon. It's just new people who are in the mix.
Well, John, I want to start off by saying, are you kind of blown away by how interested everybody still is in this dinner a couple of days later? Like, people, like, we went out with a bunch of people from the wrap-up show last night, and people were asking us questions all night. It was just a dinner.
Yes and no. I'm sort of blown away because I feel like, you know, we've talked about it a lot, and there's different things that, you know, happen and whatnot, and of course, you know, the jealousy and the envy and all that other stuff. But no, because I would be the one asking the questions if I wasn't included. I get it. See, Gare, you're always a part of the mix, so you're not going to experience what other people here experience. You're a permanent member of Sal's inner circle.
You are too, Mr. Hine. Don't be all humble now.
Far from it, Rasan. I'm a newcomer.
John, would it be fair to say it was a wonderful night and it was great and the food was amazing for most of us and all that? But would it be fair to say that what people think they missed is far greater than it was?
That's always the case. I mean, look, I think if you're a food aficionado, which I am not, but if you are and there's the opportunity to eat at a fantastic restaurant in New York, yeah, of course it's going to sting. I get that. I mean, I had a wonderful opportunity. And as I said the other day, the food did all taste good. I'm not saying that it didn't. But I think whenever you hear about somebody experiencing something that you're not a part of, Rasan, it's always better in your mind than the actual event.
Well, I think you guys are focusing on the wrong thing. I don't think the food is what people are feeling a certain type of way about. It's the FaceTime with Howard. That's the real prize here. That's the real win at dinner. I mean, obviously, everybody wants to eat at one of the best restaurants if you can, but I think it's more about people trying to get that time in with Howard because, you know, your interactions with Howard here on the job are only going to be so limited. You know what I'm saying? You're going to discuss work and handle business and go on. But, you know, in an opportunity like going out to dinner, you know, you have more options to when you're spending time with Howard.
But I wonder, and I pose this question to the audience, I wonder about relationships in the workplace. Like, you have people you work with and you get to know well because you're in the trenches together every day, regardless of what your job might be. And then when you punch the clock and you leave, most of the time, I would think those aren't the people you're hanging out with. You have family, you have friends outside of work, you know, a life outside. Here, Gary, you and I mean, we're close friends, both here at work and outside, but we both have lives that are completely separate from this place and relationships. And I think that shocks some people when they listen to the show.
You know, when Jackie was on the show, Jackie used to tell a joke, which was a bad joke, but I will tell it anyway to make a point. He would say whenever somebody came up to him at an event when he was at dinner or something and they would go, "Where's Howard?" He would go, "Up my ass, want to tickle his feet?" But the point is that people do think that, you know that scene in Hard Day's Night where the Beatles all go to the same apartment to put their key in at the same time? Because we have such a great relationship on the show, people just assume that we do everything outside of the show together. And it's just not the case.
Well, in spite of the fact that from Howard on down, we all tell stories about what's happening in our personal lives, some of which deal with the staff, but some don't at all. So, Rahsaan, getting back to your point, I agree a lot of it is about the FaceTime with Howard.
Yeah.
But I also think you're not, you know, you're not just walking down the street with him. You're going to an exclusive place, and I think people do care about that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, this, just echoing what Gary was just saying, it, working here is no different than working anywhere else. People, there's cliques or there's groups of friends. Like, everyone here doesn't always hang out with each other all the time. Like, that's not how it is. There are people here who do spend a lot of time with each other. What's up?
We should talk about that, because people look at this as the ultimate clique at work, but there's plenty of other cliques within our office.
Oh, for sure.
Like, for instance, you know, I just recently found out that Jason has a monthly Friday night poker game for, like, the New Jersey residents of the show, which is Jason. Ralph's been there a couple times. Chris Wilding's been there a couple times. I think Will goes every once in a while. And that's like a whole other thing. And I never heard anybody go, how come I'm not invited to the poker?
That's because nobody who doesn't live in Jersey wants to fucking go to Jersey.
Rahsaan's right. It's more of a territorial thing. Yeah. I think, Gary, if you were having something up where you live, or back when I was out on Long Island, you think about who you're going to invite. It's not necessarily, you know, everybody who you want from work. It's more who the people are who live around. You don't want to inconvenience the others. Yeah. But I do think, though, if certain people have events at their homes, depending on who it is, people are going to travel great distances to get there. If Howard's having people out at his house out east, every single person at this staff, I don't care if you live in Wyoming, would make their way to it just to be there.
I agree. I mean, listen, you drop everything. I remember John, because John had to pick me up at the ferry. I was in Boston, and Howard sent out a note like, hey, I'm kind of solo this weekend. Why don't you guys all come out to the house? It just so happened I took the train with my family to Boston, which I'd never done before, but it kind of worked out where I got off in Bridgeport, Connecticut, hopped on a ferry, and John picked me up on the other side. We were at the Howard's house. But yes, I did everything I could to get there. You don't want to miss it.
When you get that invite from Howard or something like that, does that trump everything you have going on? Like, if you had plans with your wife that day or plans with your family, do you cancel them because Howard asked you to hang out?
You have a discussion. I've never really canceled anything. I do remember there was another time where Howard had a guy at his house who's the Steve Reichlin, who's the grill guy, because Howard was super into grilling for a while. And everybody from the show went out. And I just remember, for whatever reason, I couldn't go out. I don't know whether the kids were young, or it was just one of those things that it was too difficult to make. And I was bummed that I couldn't go, and I didn't drop everything. But if your boss says, hey, come on over, you make the effort.
And that's a universal thing. That's not just Howard. And granted, it's cool because Howard, you know, is in a certain place in life where it's neat to hang out at Howard's house for sure. But if your boss says, hey, next Wednesday, we're having some people over for drinks, do you want to come? Chances are you're probably going to go, because you're thinking about work, not necessarily about the personal relationship.
I'll give you a perfect example. Last year, I had tickets to go see a regular wrap-up show guest, Mark Roberge, OAR, was playing right around the corner from my house. And we love it. My wife loves the band, and we were really ready to go. And then Howard and Beth invited me to the North Shore Animal League event. And I'm like, we got to go to that. And it wasn't like, I got to go, like, oh, I don't want to go, I got to go. I wanted to go, but, you know, I think both were kind of equal, and both things being equal, your boss always wins.
And OIR has never forgiven Gary since. Andrew and Missouri, you're on the Howard Stern wrap-up
Missouri.
Show. Hey, Andrew.
Hey guys, a big fan. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I was just curious. Do you think the feeling of the folks that are in the back office that didn't make the invitation list, it's kind of like seeing a 4-year-old who's sitting front row behind home plate on Game 7 of the World Series. As a viewer, when I see something like that, I'm like, how this kid doesn't even respect the game, doesn't know what's going on, and there's jealousy. Like, I should be sitting in that seat, or somebody that even wants to be there, loves baseball, deserves that seat. Do you think the guys that didn't get invited, I mean, is there some sort of, I don't know, parallel between that feeling, you think?
I'm gonna take this one for John, because John's too close to answer. That's a great analogy, and the answer is 100% yes. I think that wasn't there one time when Sal got on the air and started complaining that there were friends of Howard that he thought he would be a better friend than?
Yes, yes.
So I think it's kind of like that, like, hey, I know Howard better. I appreciate Howard more. I like food better. I should be sitting there. That was a great analogy.
Thanks. If I could, I've got one more question, if that's all right.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Had Howard presented this same birthday gift to Fred and said, you get to ask 10 people for dinner that I'm going to pay for, would his list be the same as Robin's?
That's a really good question, Andrew. I'm going to put a pin in it because later in the show, both Gary and I are going to answer that question that Robin had to. You got to bring 10 people from the staff. Who would it be? Let's make a note of that and talk about who Fred would invite. We could speculate. Of course, Fred isn't here, but let's take a break because Gary, Rasan, and I are here. 888-STERN-100, 888-783-7610. Howard Stern Wrap-Up Show. We'll talk more about the dinner. I know Rasan's got some questions. You've got some as well. Howard Stern Wrap-Up Show exclusively on Howard 101.